I am right now as uncomfortable as I have ever been in my life.
Well.
And it's simply because I feel that I am not prepared to teach this message. I have studied and studied and studied and only have approximately 2 pages. And those of you that know me know that 2 pages is not anything. There's been 6 and 7. But now I have approximately 2 pages, maybe 3. Yeah, maybe 3. 2.5 at the most. But when it's like this, I don't have anything to say. But God does.
Yes, sir.
And I promised him that I would speak his word. And knowing us like I know us, if you have not seen what's up here in that chair, that have been bothering you. And don't feel rained on. It have been bothering me too. But he said, put it. And I got just enough sense to put it. Even had to go back to the house to get it. First, I thought I wasn't going to get as much as I got. But on the way there, I had to get something else. And he will work it out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he will.
Just in case somebody will doubt that I know what I'm talking about, or that God is using me, or that I am not sound in what I'm doing and don't know what I'm doing, I'm going to give you my introduction. Subject: 5 things Jesus left the church. And I'll just tell you this, a whole page of this is introduction. Jesus took a whole lot of things to heaven. But he left us a great work to carry on until he comes again.
Amen.
And one of the things that I love about Jesus, he did not do his signs in secret. That is, he did them out in the open, publicly. John says he did his signs in the sight of his disciples. Mm-hmm. They witnessed the signs of Jesus. They were to be adequate witnesses to the things that Jesus had done while here on earth.
Yes, sir.
The epistle of John, chapter 1. I wrote this earlier this week, but looking at it, it's cold to my eyes. So I'm going to look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. John, the first epistle, general of John. That which was from the beginning, which we had heard, which we had seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and he sent it, and bear witness, and shew unto us the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. I didn't tell you in verse 2, the beginning is a parenthesis open, and at the end of 2 is a parenthesis closed. That, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus the Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Things Jesus left the church All of this, John was trying to get them to see, y'all, you might not believe it, but I saw all of this. John saying, we witnessed this, we handled him. He is the Son of God. Believers, 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 we have got to get up off our stool or do nothing and tell the world about a saving grace. This is what John was doing here. He was telling them why he knew that there was the God and that Jesus Christ was our Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. Got 5 points. And I'm going to give you these 5 points in the very beginning. So if in case I don't do anything else, I would have given you my 5 points. Point number one, an unfinished task. That's point number one. There were some things needed to be done that were not done. And Jesus left them with the church. Unfinished task. Point number two. And when I get to point number 5, giving you these, I am not through. I don't want you to go through this thinking you about to leave here now. Point number 2. He left an unchallenged message to the church. That's point number 2. Point number 3. He left unlimited power to the church. Point number 4, he left an unshakable testimony with the church. And point number 5, y'all need to write faster. Unfailing promise. You'll hear him again sometime or other doing this. You'll hear him again. Unfailing promises. Promise is number 5. In the book of Acts, when you read the book of Acts, you are reading the history of the church. What the church did in order to establish itself. Jesus, in the first chapter of this, and you heard it read to you in verse, he's getting ready to leave here, y'all. Been walking around down here after the week of Passion doing Bible scholar, Bible institute, teaching about the Bible, teaching about what the things that they should do. The unfinished task that he left, point number 1. One of the things he left unfinished, we need to do it today. And that is seeking the lost. There are some lost people, not in the other church, but in your church. They're beside you right now. Some of them may be in your own family. They're lost. We need to seek them out. We need to get to the place where we can talk to them about this Jesus. And especially if they're in the family. Because they see you and they know you. And they don't believe you can be saved anyway. Can I just tell y'all that and y'all not get mad with me and put me out? The people that don't believe you saved most are in your church or in your family. Because we have a tendency to think we know you. Because, see, we were there too, but we say, you're not. So we got to seek the lost. We have to live so people may doubt what you say, but they'll believe what you do. Right. Where they might not believe you say, but they'll be watching you. And they'll see you not do some things that you used to do. That's why it's hard to witness to family folks. Just don't want to believe you. Just can't believe you because, boy, I know you. I remember when you did this or you did that. I know you. We have to seek them out and be a witness to them. Y'all got good families. Y'all's family is saved, but some of us, our families are not. Turn to the book of Titus, right behind 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. He's saying that I did this for them, and if I did it for them, guess what else I'll do? I will also do it for you. The Holy Spirit works. Right now, the Holy Spirit is at work in restraining Satan, not allowing him to do what he wants to do. The restrainer is there, and my sisters will know what a restrainer is, because remember when you had to strain that flour to get it to go into that cake? The flour was already good, but you had to strain it because there was something in it that should have been out of it. The Holy Spirit restrains Satan, won't let him do what he want to do with you. Jesus told Peter, said he has a desire to sift you. He want to take you and just do all manners of evil to you. But the Holy Ghost won't let him sift you. Because he is a restrainer. That's what we have to tell them about. We have to tell them how good God is and what he's done for you. You are the best witness that they can have. It's better when people that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, were on their way to hell, but now they tell you about the restrainer. He'll convict you. And after he convicts you, he'll confront you with your own stuff. He'll let you look at your own stuff. And after he does that, he'll come back and he'll just grab you and comfort you and let you know everything will be all right. The devil don't want you to believe that that's what God will do, but he'll do that for us, and then he'll take it. The Holy Spirit will regenerate you. That's why when they thought you were going to die, you didn't die.
All right.
Because the Holy Spirit,
yes, sir,
entered you and reinvigorated you, gave you life again. That's why most of you are still here. Most of us can think of something, some reason that we should have been dead. But God has something else for you to do. So he left you here because there was something else that you needed to do. There was an unfinished task that you had to do for God.
Uh-huh.
And then he wants you to help somebody else do what they're doing. Listen. If you're thinking about starting a ministry of your own, don't do it. Don't do it. Why? I'm glad you asked. Don't do it until you have helped somebody else do theirs.
Yeah.
When you help somebody else do theirs, then God will see that you're faithful in what you're doing, and he'll bless you. Help somebody else do what they're doing, and don't you try to get out there and do it yourself. Stay behind. Listen. I don't know anything about the Wild West, but what they show me on TV is the person that's gonna get shot is out front. That's why I want Deacon Westbrook and Deacon White and all these. That's why I want them out front. I want them to get shot, and I stay back here and still teach the word. Let them get shot. That's what happened to you when you want to get out front, but when you want to, if you help somebody else, then the mistakes that they make will help you not to make them. You want to run and get out front. There's an unfinished task. You need to be behind sometime. You need to be number two, number three, or number four sometime before you get to be number one. That's the unfinished task. You need to help somebody else. Send, and that's why if you can't go to Africa, help somebody that's going. Send them. And your Africa may be the next street over in the town where you live. Or in your own bedroom, maybe the next bedroom in the same house. You have an unfinished task that he left for us to do. Point number two.
See, I told you to hear him again. An unchallenged message. Satan tries to challenge the message of God. For instance, in Jesus' time, when you read and you study, you will find that they wanted to challenge the message of him being virgin born. Joseph, his stepfather, even had problems with Mary telling him she was with child.
Well,
but then an angel come along.
Yes.
And spoke to him. That solved his solution to him right there. Yeah. But then there are the neighbors. Help me, Lord. Especially in a small town. Everybody know everybody. Know everything about everybody.
Yes.
Knew that Jesus was not the biological son of Joseph. Knew that Mary had been slipping around, tipping and tapping and doing those things she should not have done. But I remember reading in the Bible when they was on their way for them to be counted, it said some things happened and she took those things and put them and planted them in her heart. See, sometimes God would do something for you. Nobody else will understand it. Nobody else will believe it, but you know that God did it. You can take it and put it in your heart. And every now and then when they get to blaspheming and talking about you real bad, you can just start shouting, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because I know what you've done for me. Nobody else may not know God, but I know what you've done for me. It said Mary kept these things and she put them in her heart. And I just believe if she's like most of the mothers, whenever they were talking about a son, I can just see her in the kitchen washing dishes and saying, God, you promised me that this was my son and that he would be all right. But God, I don't understand. God, I can just hear God asking her like he asked me. So do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you have faith in me? Do you believe what I said? Are you still walking with me? I put my word on the inside of you and it's growing. But now you have to come. It has to come outside of you. See, sometimes God put the word on the inside of you. It's to stay inside of you and fester you and make you grow. And then after a while, after he get through growing you, he'll let the message come on the outside of you. What you mean by it? Like I'm standing now, I'm bold, I'm with the word of God. It doesn't matter to me who don't like me. It doesn't stop me from preaching the word of God. In the yesterdays of my life, when the word was on the inside of me, I wanted everybody to like me. I wanted everybody to get along with me. But now the word have gotten on the outside of me. If you like me, it's all right. If you don't like me, it's all right. But the word says for you to love me. If I'm standing on the word of God, I'm going to stand. You might knock me and I lean this way, but I won't move off the word of God. If you hit me on this side, I'll go to the other side. But my feet are not moving off the word of God. Yes. On the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. The message of Jesus is unchallenged. You can't get it any better than this. I preached on last Sunday on the blood, and Larry Tuck had put up there the blood, and I almost start crying because I saw something that I hadn't seen before. When he put the picture of blood, I saw me and I saw my sins, and I saw the blood covering all of my sins. And when the blood covered my sins, it'll cover yours. The blood of Jesus, the blood sacrifice. Nobody else need to die for my sin, because Jesus have already died. He is, I don't know which one of the apostles it is, call him the propitiation. That means the debt's paid in full. Can't nobody else pay it. If anybody else try to pay it, when they send their money, their blood to pay it, they'll get it back and say it's paid in full. Don't need another payment. Listen, and because of the blood, I have salvation that is extended to me by the grace of God. Not not because I'm worthy, but because God yet have on his coat of mercy. Grace is God's redemption at Christ's expense. Christ paid the price for me. I'm glad I'm under grace and not under the law. Grace says that I have sinned and I ought to die, but I can't die because of my sin, because I'm under the blood. Somebody said nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood have washed me and made me clean. There is an unchallenged message, and the message is that God saved me by grace. Can I just tell you? Can I just tell you, it's not how I feel. You can't sing and I get happy and you think that's my grace. You can sing and I start crying. Grace still covers me and the blood still saves me. Some people see, and because you are emotional, they said that you are saved. You can be emotional at a rock concert. You can be emotional at a Satan party. But if you don't have the blood, it is not about emotions. It's not about emotions. Oh, yeah. But back in my, because that's just the way he does me. And I just let him have his way. I just let him have his way. I told you about those days that I would sit right there on that pew and not move and with my arms folded. And the preacher would be preaching and he'd be preaching and he'd be whipping me good. And every now and then tears would roll down my cheek. I was so stubborn and stout-hearted, sometimes I wouldn't even wipe the tears. I just let them roll. Didn't want nobody to think that I may be believing this stuff. Oh, but now, ain't got to have no preaching. Sister Linda, if they sing and nobody plays, it's all right with me. If they don't play the drum, Brother Bernard, it's all right. If they don't play the guitar, it's all right. But if I got Jesus, that's enough. Don't need nobody else. I got Jesus, and I'm washed in the blood. The message is unchallenged. He saved me. Point number three. The unlimited power. That's in verse 8. Point number 2 is verses 3 through 7. And point number 1 is verses 1 and 2. Now, I didn't tell you all that, so I don't want you to find me where I am. Unlimited power. He said in verse 8, ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. That tells me that they did not, and this might not be grammatically correct, already have the power. Because he said, ye shall have power, shall receive power. Ye shall mean you're gonna do it. And listen. One of the greatest faults to me with Christian folks is they don't know the power that they're in possession of. I'm glad you asked. I can tell you why. You haven't tried him. You got to try Jesus. If you try him, you know he's all right. And you will get to the point. Listen to this now. After he saved you, you'll get to the point where you can start remembering things that happened to you that had no business happening to you. Ye shall receive power. Some of us are not dead and in hell today.
Well,
because Christ saw the task, the job that you were supposed to do after you were saved. I keep saying this, y'all. If that's the beginning of time and that's eternity, God's sitting there looking at both of them at the same time.
Yes, sir.
And you are in between. He sees you. If you're his, he bless you. He made preparations for you to be saved before you got saved.
Yes, sir.
He made the preparation. You just had to get to it. That oil, and some of you might not even know this, over in a little town 30-something miles east west of Baker is a little town called Jay. They found oil in Jay in the 60s and had been looking for oil everywhere. But they found oil in Jay. Did the oil just get there? No. God put it there. It was there. So what are you saying? It's just like God saw that oil there. He saw you saved. Uh-huh. Yeah. You might have been surprised. Your mom and your dad and your especially your dogs, your road dogs, they might have been surprised. But God wasn't surprised. God ain't surprised. He's not surprised that you're here today. He's not surprised that some of you have muted me today. You have muted me. You're sitting here watching me, but you don't hear me. Because it's after 12 o'clock and you ready to eat. When God said you shall receive power, he set a standard for the church. The standard for the church is what he told Nicodemus. Ye must be born again. And I know y'all real smart. Y'all more intelligent than I am. But when I first started looking at that, that kind of bothered me too. I wasn't just like Nicodemus wasn't by himself. And some of the rest of us told the truth. We weren't either. How can I be born again? By the blood and the water. You got to start all over again. And that's one thing I love about Jesus. Because he allowed me to be born again, I started on a clean sheet. Although I had sinned, I started on a clean sheet. That's being born again. Because he allows you to start over again. And you're walking with him. And you got a new sheet. You haven't done anything wrong. Because of the blood. The blood washed away all of my sin. That's the standard of the church. And then after you get born again, you're able to speak the word of God boldly, proclaim it. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. And you say it. And if you can't quote it, you can live it.
Yes, sir.
Living it sometimes is better than quoting it, because the devil can quote it. You know, he quoted it to Jesus up on the mountain, but he couldn't live it. When he gets after you, sitting here looking at this, I see Sister Linda Lewis over there. I think she used to sing this song where they call all them Jehovah names of Jesus. I can't remember all them. I just can remember Jehovah. But I have no problem remembering Jesus. Just calling Jesus. And it says, at the name of Jesus, he shall flee. Just call him. And if you think that's wrong, when trouble get on you and people get to bothering you, sometimes get somewhere, and you don't have to say it out loud. Just Jesus, Jesus, and don't say Jesus, I need you. Oh, he's coming. He's coming. All you got to do is know who you're calling. And he know who you are. If he knows who you are, you know who when you call him. The preacher used to say, before you get through asking him, it's on the way. It's coming. It's a done deal. When you are his child and you call him, trouble around you, you say, Jesus, I need you. And he'll be there. Quickness, it has nothing on Jesus. He's there. And if you live with him and live for him and walk with him, he'll answer you. He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father, waiting on you to call him. Waiting on you to call him. And when you call him, don't just call him for the sake of calling him. Have need of him.
All right.
And he'll bless you. And sometimes He'll bless you with what you think is a little bit.
Well,
and a little bit with God.
Yes.
We'll go farther than man could ever take you. I have yet to understand it. And the song said, I'll understand it better by and by. How he can take 90% and make the 90% go farther than the 100%. Or if you give him 20%, he'll take the 80% and make it go farther than the 100% will. Because when God blesses something,
yes, sir,
he blesses it. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven. And I was in that building over there the other day, and I was looking, and I thought about heaven, and I said, windows. I said, I wonder how big is a window in heaven. I can't do it. I made myself think of it. I said, that rain that came the other day with Isaac, I said, he didn't open the window, he cracked it. He didn't open it wide, he just cracked the window, and rain came. Because he has the supply of everything. God can, if we speak this word, he'll do it. And the unlimited power, if you really want to see the power of God, you let a child of his be suffering. Just suffering for his name's sake. Just suffering for the namesake of God. God will bless you. And I believe sometimes some of us, he allows trouble to come our way so we can call him and he blesses. He gets us through it, and everybody will be looking at you and say, how in the world? Every time I see him, he's smiling. And I know what he's going through because because God blesses you. That's the unlimited power that he has. And that you will find in verse 8. And I wanted to read verse 8 to y'all, if you don't mind and not insult your intelligence. But he said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness for me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the utmost parts of the earth.
Yes.
He didn't say you witness for me. He said you will be. I tried to emphasize that the other week. Be. Don't just pass out tracts, hand out CDs. Your life. You be that witness.
All right.
Every day of your life. You be the witness that people need to look at and tell that you're a child of God. If we can only tell that you are a child of God on Sunday morning at 11:15 after devotion is over, you are a bad example for Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
At your job, if people don't know that you are a believer, you better check yourself.
Well.
And especially if you've been there for a while. Mm-hmm. They ought to know.
Yeah.
They ought to know. You ought to act different. Now, if I'm in anybody's tea next week when you're at the job and around the water cooler, mm-hmm, they start telling them jokes, I want you to just turn and leave. Mm-hmm. Because if you stand there, you guilty. If you laugh at jokes about other people, guess what they'll do when you're not there? They'll laugh at a joke about you. So don't laugh.
All right.
Just leave.
Yes, sir.
Don't get involved. And see, because you have unlimited power, they cannot hurt you. If you think the ever-ready bunny got power, you ought to try Jesus. You ought to try him. He never runs out. He always have just what you need. And he's waiting on you to access the power. There's a switch on this. What is this amplifier? What?
Monitor.
Okay, is there a switch on?
Yes, sir.
Where's the switch? Right here? Where about? I can't see. Where? Okay. All right, turn it off. But the power is still there. That's the way some of us are with Jesus. We have the power, but we won't turn it on and use it. You just got the power. Now, this right here, I could use it for a seat. I could sit on it. It might be uncomfortable, but I could sit on it. But that's not what it's used for.
Amen.
You are just like that right there. You let the devil, hello, come sit on you. Use you for something that you're not supposed to be used for. Have you to take his lies somewhere else and drop them somewhere else and you take them and drop them. But that's not what you're made for. You have the power of the Holy Spirit.
Well, yes, sir.
Oh, on and off.
Yes, sir.
See, when you need eyes, extra eyes or more power, you need to just look sometime and it'll be there. But now my point in this is that God have the Holy Spirit to give you power, but he won't make you use it. This thing is wired for sound, but I could use it for a seat. That you are wired to work for God, but the devil would use you if you let him. This monitor here have no choice, but you got a choice. The reason you don't turn him down, we love the pleasure that sin brings us. Point number 4 is in verse number 9. Unshakable testimony. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. That's unshakable. He got over 500 people that saw that happen. Saw it. Observed it. I will go away. What's John 14? If I go away and prepare a place for you. Here he's going away, and he's going to prepare a place for them. And they standing there watching him.
Yes, sir.
And the devil wants you to believe that he was not resurrected, but all these people saw him. That's some of the most infallible proof of Jesus' resurrection is the empty tomb.
If the
Jews and the Roman soldiers would have been real smart, they would have publicized that Jesus was still in the tomb. But they didn't have sense enough. They were saying somebody, they thought it was more popular to say somebody stole it. Somebody stole the body. Mm-hmm. And Jesus up here walking around.
Yeah.
40 days.
Yep.
40 days walking around. Somebody stole the body. Sure did. The Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Raised himself up. And the unshakable testimony is that he was and is his best testimony. He walked around among them for 40 days teaching the Old Testament and letting them see things that he was doing. Appearing and disappearing. Instant. On the first Resurrection Sunday, he appeared 5 or 6 different times to people. And they still did not believe. The unshakable testimony. Joel prophesied he would pour out his spirit in the latter days upon all flesh. On your sons and your daughters, and they shall prophesy. They shall tell about the goodness of God. God, all Jesus does was fulfill this. And then we have a testimony that we need to give to the world about the saving grace of Jesus the Christ. He said this word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Some of us are old enough to remember when they used to shave with double-edged razor blades.
Uh-huh.
You could shave this side, then shave the other side with the same blade on a different edge. And they had a single-edged razor blade. But the double-edged razor blade, I think they got it from the Bible, for it said the word is as a two-edged sword. It cut going, and cut coming back. And the reason it said it was a two-edged sword, when it cut going this way, he didn't flip it over. He just brought it right back. And it cut that side too. See, that's a two-edged sword. On every edge will be cut. And when you bring it back over that same tear, it'll cut it again. And when it's cut, that word, this word, I am hoping and I am praying that in your heart it will be a two-edged sword. It will cut going and coming back. Yes. This week and next week, all the time, this word, if we allow this word into our heart, it will cut out sin. But you have to allow it. You have to let it. This testimony, this unshakable testimony, is sufficient for anyone that will receive it. If you do not receive it, let me categorize this receiving. Two places, here and here. In your heart, it's better to receive it. The devil got it up here. Mm-hmm. The devils that's in the church got it up here. Mm-hmm. No devil can have the word in his heart. If the word is in his heart, it will make a difference in the way that he lives. That's why when some of the people that knew you yesterdays of your life, yeah, now find it hard to believe that you have the word in your heart, because they remember you the way you used to be. And that's a mistake we make. We remember people the way they used to be and don't give this Holy Spirit the right to save them. We ought to be this way. If God can save me, he can save anybody. Because, see, I know how wicked I was. And we think, some of us now, since we've been saved 3 days, we think everybody else in bad shape, you know. We don't need to do that. Point number five. Unfailing promises. These promises will not fail. And in verse 10 and 11, he talks about the second return, the coming back. If I go, I will come again. I love that part of it. I will come again. I am in the again. He's coming back to get me. All the rest of y'all would have made it anyway, but he's coming just to get me. Every one of us can say that, and it will not stop God from coming to get anybody else. When he comes back, in verse 10 and 11, listen. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. You stood there and you watched him. You watched him when he left, and he's coming back. They tell all kind of stuff about him. He ain't coming back because of the way they treat him. That's all right. You cannot believe that, but I believe he's coming. Because he said it. Over in Genesis 3:16, he said that he would be born a seed of a woman. And 2,000 or 3,000 years later, he was born seed of a woman. If he said that then, he's going to keep his promise. He said he's coming back, and he's coming back after what's his. I am his, and he's coming back after me. Why stand ye gazing, looking up? Don't you know that if he leaves, he's coming back? He told you. So he's coming back. Don't worry. He's coming back. And I can see them there, and I have a picture of John in my mind. John looking at him saying, Jesus, don't leave me because I love you, and I want to do great things for you. Stay here with me and continue to teach me. But John, I got to go. If I don't go, the comforter won't come. And y'all have to excuse me right here. I get personal. I hear him say, there's a little boy that's going to be in a little town in America called Baker, and he's going to need to be saved. And if I don't go, John, I won't be able to send the Holy Spirit and he come and save him. I need him to be saved. So I got to go, John. We have to understand that he had to leave so he could send something to comfort us, to keep us and to hold us and to make us where he could use us. He did not save you because you were so famous and so good. He saved you so you could witness to somebody else. You could tell somebody else about the saving grace of this Jesus the Christ. If you don't tell them, how will they hear? If you don't tell them, how will they hear? How will they know? The old saying they used to say, I got mine. It's left up to you to get yours. No, I got mine. And I need to help you to get yours. Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And he will save you. But you have to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Listen, if Jesus would not have done what he did, we would not have been able to be snatched out of the jaws of hell. I see me over fire, be ready to be roasted and dropped into the fire. But then I see the hand of Jesus. I see the cross. I see Calvary coming. And that saved me. That's what it takes to save us. When we were on our way to hell, Jesus went to Calvary.
Yes.
He saw us in need of a Savior, and he died so we would not have to go to hell. You don't have to go. That's why it says he went to hell. And I'm through right now, but let me tell you this story. I didn't have one, but I got one now. And I'm going to get to this, y'all. Don't let me forget that, because I'll forget it. Don't let me forget it. Because all y'all been watching it all morning. So y'all. They tell the story of the crucifixion of Jesus the Christ. When he was crucified, they carried him to hell. And they laid him on a cooling board. Death, hell, and the grave was all there. Satan was there as well. He was in charge. He called up death and said, do you still have Jesus the Nazarene? He said, yes. He said, okay, watch him. That was the first day. The second day, he called him again. Said, is he still there? He said, yes, he's still here. Said, everything's okay, boss. He said, okay. The third day, he called him early in the morning. He said, is he still there? He said, yeah, he's there. He said, let me check on him. He said, I heard something. Said he walked to the door and looked in the room. And he said, boss said a room is shaking. He said, what time is it up there? So, you know, he said 3 days he'd be up. So he said, it's about 10:30. So he just got an hour and a half. If he stayed another hour and a half, he done lied. So he just kept raking. He said, what's he doing now? He's just laying on the board. Said, I'm here looking at it. And it said, just as he was looking, said, Jesus started moving. So he said, what was that? He said, the body that's on the cooling board said it didn't move. So he said, well, put your hands on it and see if you can hold it. He put his hand on it, trying to hold him, said, and Jesus just kept shaking and moving. Said, just kept shaking and moving. So he said, boss, you better come, because he's moving. Said, all these other people around him, so they start moving too. He said, well, what you want me to do? He said, just hold him for just another second, saying, I'll be there. And the devil was, boom, he was there. And when he got there, said, Jesus raised up, looked at him, eyeball to eyeball. The devil had some keys hanging on his side. Jesus, looking at him, reached and got the keys, snatched them away from him, and didn't run. And said, Jesus had the keys and he was holding them up. Said, and Jesus started shaking the keys and the devil started running. So you see, that's why this is an unshakable testimony, because he got the keys of death and hell in his pocket. So we don't have anything to worry about. All we need to do is stay in the church and keep working in the church for Jesus the Christ, and he will provide just what he needs. Those keys that he took from the devil was for you and for me. And they even said this in the world today. The way you can tell at a company who's the boss is the man with the most keys. If you got more keys than anybody else, you're in charge. You can't find, I don't remember whether anybody else in the Bible got any keys other than he got the keys. And your sins, he got the keys to unlock them. But you have to give him permission to unlock your sins. We'll extend an invitation. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus, if you do not know Jesus, this is your time.